Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Dr. Carl, good morning to you. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Dr. Howard.
Excellent. But we are getting a bit nervous. We are just getting over COVID, and all of a sudden, monkeypox seems to be on the horizon. How worried should I be?
Not particularly, mainly because it has a very low reproduction rate. What is the reproduction rate? The number of people that get infected on average by one person who is infected themselves. With measles, which is a very infectious disease, the R0, that's what they call this thing, is about 12 to 18. That means that one person with measles will infect, if you don't do anything, another 12 to 18 people. Omicron of COVID is around 12, 13. This one is 0.03. In other words, 100 people have this monkeypox. They will infect on average only 3 other people. So the spreadability, the infectivity of it is very low.
And why has this suddenly developed into a story? You know, I believe that monkeypox has been around for a while.
Yes, it was first discovered in Denmark in 1958 as a pox-type virus, like smallpox, infecting crabs. First outbreak affecting humans in the Congo in 1970, and then it sort of sputtered along. At the moment, we're up to a couple of hundred people worldwide. And by the way, there are two variants. One variant, the Congo one, has got a 10% death rate. Now, that's really serious, 10%. The other one, which is the one that's spreading, is the West Africa variant, and that's got a 1% death rate, which is about the same as COVID and about 10 times higher than influenza, which is a death rate of 1 in 1,000. Now, we're worried about it because it seems to have changed a little. By the way, a little detour here. The COVID virus is an RNA virus, and they mutate quite a lot. This one, the monkeypox, is a DNA virus, and they don't mutate as fast. But it has changed. Until recently, all the cases were from animal to human. And only recently have we started seeing human to human, especially when humans spend a lot of time close to each other, being intimate, etc. But we're seeing that happening. So we're keeping an eye on it in the same way that at every major airport, there's always a fire truck and a whole crew being funded to do nothing but sit there all day, every day. And there's hardly ever a fire on an aeroplane coming into land. But it's being precautious in case it does change to become both more lethal and more infectious.
I was wondering, and I wanted to ask you the question, it goes more into human behavior than it does science, but do you think that we're reacting this way because of COVID and because we're quite anxious about what we've just seen? In other words, had this happened 5 years ago, would we even be speaking about it?
With 100 deaths, no, but with the change in behavior, maybe, but certainly not with the case with COVID. COVID arose 2 years ago and has killed about 20 million people worldwide, which is a heck of a lot in just 2 years. In Australia, we're in a weird situation where we had a good lockdown at the beginning and kept it going until the vaccines arrived. And so we had 1,000 dead in the first year, 1,000 dead in the second year, and then this year, 1,000 dead every month.
Wow.
The death rate has gone up by a factor of 12, but we're into a sort of complacent thing, and apparently we have to keep the economy going. And if the price of keeping the economy going is that a jetliner full of people has to be killed every week, that's apparently what we're being told by the government is an acceptable risk.
Wow, that's a bit, that sounds really, really quite cold and calculating. But okay, every country's got to make their own decisions. That can't always be easy, I guess. Environmental noise causing 12,000 premature deaths and 48,000 new cases of, and I can't even pronounce this word, ischemic heart disease in Europe every year. So I thought that noise, well, I'm often in danger of being and reaching an early death because of noise, but that's because I watch something too loud and my wife wants to kill me at night when I do that. But apparently there's more to the story than that.
Yes, because noise, background noise, can increase or make it hard for you to sleep, and make it hard. It's not just simply a mere inconvenience. Mm-hmm. We've got complaints about noise pollution dating back to the very first cities, 3,500 years ago, recorded on clay tablets from Babylon. But it also can create stresses, inconvenient noise, that then create physiological burdens that then lead to, in Europe, 12,000 premature deaths each year, and 48,000 new cases of ischemic heart disease each year. And so we've got to really look upon making our environment better in so many different ways to make the world a fairer place. Meanwhile, COVID's still running around and monkeypox has come from nowhere.
Absolutely. Irrational rituals, tell us about them.
Irrational rituals can make life better even for a rational person. Now, you know that in the theatre, you never say good luck, but you say break a leg. Mm-hmm. And you never mention that Shakespearean Scottish play by name or else everything goes bad. And Beethoven had a ritual, which I have followed, which was that Beethoven counted out 60 coffee beans every morning for his breakfast.
Wow.
Now I'm doing that, and I'm sure that my music playing is getting better. Rafael Nadal, the tennis player, has to have his sports supplements in a very precise order during each match. Serena Williams has to tie her shoes in a very special way and bounces the ball not four times, not six times, but only five times before each serve. And this famous study was done by Dr. Alison Brooks at Harvard, where she invited people in for a spot of karaoke. Sounds like an excellent idea. I love karaoke. And half of them just went to sing the karaoke, and the other half, who were chosen at random, were given this really ridiculous task. First, draw a picture of how you feel right now. Okay, now you've done that. Sprinkle salt on your drawing. Don't get rid of it. But now, count to five out loud. You can't do it silently. You have to count out loud. And when you got to five, then crinkle up your paper and throw your paper in the bin. Now gather your thoughts for a minute. And they sound totally ridiculous, but the accuracy of their singing and keeping to the note was 13% better than the people who didn't go through the stupid and irrational ritual.
Absolutely fascinating how we...
That works for you and it doesn't interfere, go for it.
Absolutely right, Dr. Cole. Thank you, as always.